I'm Vermont Edition producer Sam Gale Rosen. This podcast has been edited for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. It's not your company's job to help you lose weight, control your diabetes, or get your work-life balance in check and improve your mental health. Or is it? About two-thirds of adults in Vermont are overweight or obese, and that's a problem because associated health conditions that go along with being overweight wind up costing companies in contributions to health insurance premiums and absenteeism and loss of productivity. Turns out, statistics show that a happy and healthy workforce is a more efficient workforce. That's certainly one of the reasons the state of Vermont encourages companies and employers to offer workplace wellness programs. But what is actually effective, and how do you get skeptical employees on board? We're going to talk about workplace wellness today with Julia Rell, Division Director of Health Promotion and Disease Prevention at the Vermont Department of Health. Julie, it's a pleasure to have you with us.
It's so great to be here, Jay.
Can you give us the scope of what wellness programs actually look like and are in Vermont?
Wellness programs can look pretty much as varied as our work sites are. And good wellness programs, I think, really take into account what the specific environment and culture and workplace is. So there are many that are run by or organized by companies, including health insurance companies, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Cigna. They have workplace wellness programs in support of companies that purchase insurance from them.
You mean so not in their own employees, but actually
also for their own employees, but because it does, it can potentially help to reduce healthcare costs. They're invested in helping work sites find ways to help their employees be healthier. And then right down to really small work sites that may just look for low or no cost strategies that can help their employees be healthier and help to create a culture in that workplace. And that can be as simple as encouraging walking meetings.
All right. So a walking meeting, how might that work?
Walking meetings are great. We try to do them as much as possible. And generally, they work when it's a small group, if it's two or three people at most. And generally, we can try to have a sit down maybe for 10 minutes to lay out the agenda or discuss what is it that we really need to tackle in this walking meeting. And then we walk. And there are apps for your cell phone that can record if you need to be able to take notes. So there are a lot of ways that you can get around just sitting at a desk and meeting with someone and actually making it more engaging. And actually, people find that it's easier to have difficult conversations when they're walking because they're not sitting and looking at each other.
Yeah, you don't have to look at somebody
That's
when you're
right.
walking. Okay, so if you need to have a difficult conversation, maybe walk it out.
Sometimes, yes.
What's another low or no cost option for wellness?
Sure, healthy food options in the workplace. So just like 25 years ago, you would have a work site where people would be sitting around the table smoking. That doesn't happen anymore. But you still do have work sites where people will sit around a table eating donuts or danishes. And so companies can set the expectation that we're not going to be bringing that kind of food in anymore, but we encourage people to bring in whole foods or fruit salads, anything that's a healthier food to nibble on during the meeting, or just saying, we're not going to have food at meetings. The other thing is just encouraging people to drink water throughout the day.
If those are the low end, the no cost, mm-hmm. how do you know they're still effective?
Well, that's a good question. And the studies that have been done on workplace wellness really tend to look at the really large, comprehensive worksite wellness programming, things that companies that are 500, 1,000 or more employees implement and that run the full gamut from biometric screening to policies to environmental strategies like offering a gym on site. So those have been studied and we know are really effective. What we're trying to do with these other policies that really are low or no cost or even some of the medium cost strategies is really trying to change the culture of a workplace, recognizing initially it's probably going to be the early adopters, the people maybe that are already more aware of their wellness that may take that up. But over time, they can help to bring some of their peers along and create more of a culture within a work site that helps to move everybody forward.
Julie, when you say that those big companies, though, that have studied the effectiveness of workplace wellness programs, you know, even if it is comprehensive, when you say they have been shown to be effective, what are some of the stats that they're seeing?
Sure. There have been numerous studies and as well as meta-analyses that have been done. And so they find there are significant reductions in absenteeism, so 27% reduction on average in absenteeism.
That's huge.
That is huge, yes. And a reduction in presenteeism, which is sort of this new thing of people being at work but not being fully productive at work. They've been shown to have a 32% decrease in workers' compensation, as well as a reduction in healthcare costs. So overall, they can be very effective at helping an employer reduce absenteeism and healthcare costs related to unwell workers.
We're talking today about workplace wellness, why companies might want to get involved in this, and we want to look at what some Vermont companies are doing. So the statistics show that overall comprehensive wellness programs are effective. And Julie, you're really working especially on getting some of the low and middle cost options, because Vermont doesn't have a ton of employers who have that 500, 1,000, 3,000 employee kind of organization, although there are some. What are some of the mid-range where a company actually has to invest something but might see that return that you're seeing Vermont companies use?
Sure. Some of the mid-range can be things like just providing a refrigerator and a microwave, because it's been shown if there are places where people can store their lunch and heat up a lunch, they're more likely to bring their lunch. And that means it's more likely to be healthy than what they may run out and purchase at a store or a fast food joint during their lunch break. So something as simple as that can really help staff and people at a work site know that, A, their employer values them and really wants to support them making healthy decisions. The other thing can be making your campus tobacco-free. So if you're a work site that maybe still allows smoking on campus, going tobacco-free, there may be some small investments that you have to make, signage or you know, other changes, but that can pay huge dividends if you can really help your employees quit smoking.
Wouldn't you have to do something more than just say you can't do it here?
Well, you can't do it here and then enforce it.
but you don't actually have to do anything that is like a cessation aid other than to say?
Absolutely. That can help. And there are many free resources offered through 802 Quits, through myhealthyvt.org, which are a series of six self-management programs that include quit in-person programs. So connecting often with your local hospital, they can help you find out what workshops might be available either to happen on site at your workplace if you have enough employees, or at the very least that are happening nearby and that are free for Vermonters.
We got a note from a writer, a listener named Betsy, who says, I'm an on-site yoga service, Flyway Yoga, and we bring yoga and wellness services to workplace across Vermont. Our customers include City Market, Bolton Valley Ski Resort, and cooperative insurance companies in Middlebury. I'm excited to hear that you'll be addressing this topic. Employee wellness and workplace success are interdependent, and Vermont businesses are smart to recognize this and invest in human capital. An insight that we discovered and solve is that offering on-site wellness like yoga classes is confusing for businesses. It's difficult to know what to do. For example, what kind of yoga to offer, who to hire. And it's also hard to measure the impact. We help our corporate customers solve both these problems by advising them on what to offer, bring teachers and equipment on site, and then helping them assess impact. We here at VPR for a while had some yoga classes, and sometimes it was an employee who was saying, oh, I'm getting my yoga certification. Does anybody want to join? And sometimes they were more formal. But Julie, one of the things that I noticed is that it's not just offering them is fine, having a space for them is fine, but you have to have buy-in. And, you know, there was a sense from some people, especially in the newsroom at VPR, of, oh, must be nice to have time to do yoga while you're at work. And this sort of a little bit of a rift that developed and a skepticism that, like, you know, some of us have to do work. We don't have time for yoga. So how do you, A, get that buy-in, but convince companies and employees that taking that time is actually going to be beneficial to their work?
Those are great questions. And I really appreciate how Betsy laid out the process that they go through. And there really is a whole process to worksite wellness. And I would love to direct people to our worksite for our worksite wellness toolkit. And that's on healthvermont.gov. And there are a number of things that can happen. The first thing that can help with some of that buy-in is to actually form a team at your workplace. And that is looking across the entire workplace and drawing in people that are invested in this activity from the newsroom, from an administrative pool, from across the work site to help spearhead that initiative and gain that support. And support of the leaders is absolutely critical. So a CEO or president of a company can really help change the culture. It's important to do an assessment of your worksite. What's currently already happening and what are some of the barriers in a workplace? If you are a transit authority and you have people that are just out driving buses, how do you do worksite wellness in that situation? But you can. There are always things that you can do. And then identify the strategies and look across some core outcomes. For those strategies, it can be the six core outcomes that we highlight for healthy workplaces are to promote healthy food choices, go tobacco-free, help employees get 30 minutes of physical activity a day, be a breastfeeding-friendly workplace, promote preventative care, and that also includes dental care. That's critical. And support emotional well-being of employees. And then you identify what strategies will work for your workplace. You implement it, but as Betsy said, it's critical to evaluate as well. And there are key measures that you can look at. How engaged are employees? How happy are they with it? What other things would they like to see? And give it time to work. It's going to take time. You'll have your early adopters, but you can buddy up and have people, if they're going out to walk at lunch because you have flex time, have them bring a friend with them.
We also got a note from Libby Weiland with the Vermont Community Garden Network who says, we wanted to make sure you know about an initiative happening across the state of Vermont called Green Thumbs at Work. It started in 2014 as an initiative between our organization and the Vermont Department of Health to provide grants for small businesses and organizations in Vermont to establish workplace food gardens for their employees. Workplace gardens are an increasing trend in promoting employee wellness, offering the benefits of access to fresh, healthy food, fresh air, mental health breaks during the workday, staff camaraderie, and lots more. Over the last 4 years, we've been able to help develop gardens at 35 different workplaces, including a locally owned pizza parlor, a statewide solar business, food co-ops, manufacturing facilities, healthcare centers, social service organizations, a town office, a local youth theater, and more. So this is something that you've been involved in, Julie.
This is a great initiative. I'm so glad that they wrote in because it's been a really successful endeavor on the part of both the health department and the group, the garden group. And we provide a small amount of funding to these workplaces, and they provide tremendous technical assistance to really get things going. They mentioned a couple of them. Town of Killington was one of the towns that did it, and they've been very successful at keeping their garden going and getting their employees from across the town departments to participate. And they're right. It provides both physical activity and healthy, nutritious foods.
You mentioned if you're something like a transit authority or, I can imagine also delivery drivers or shift workers who are on a pretty intense shift schedule. How do you do it in a place that's not a traditional office?
Those are really tricky. And our workplace wellness person is just beginning to work with the Regional Transit Authority here to try and find strategies. A quick anecdote that one of our communications department staff told me one day is she takes a bus into work, and she was getting off the bus, and her bus driver was chatting with another bus driver who was walking down the street through the bus door, and her bus driver said, "Hey, you know, what are you doing here? You're not working a shift right now." And the other guy said to her bus driver, "Yeah, I'm trying to get my 2 miles of walking in today." And her bus driver said, "Yeah, I know. I'm going to do that as soon as I'm off my shift." So they're doing something right. They're really, I think, working to promote that physical activity. And for some places, they do incentives. And if you have the funding to be able to support incentives, it's great, because that just gives even just $25 or gift card to some place can really help get people thinking about, oh, yeah, I do need to do my 2 miles of walking today and record it so that I can get my incentive at the end. And often what people find is just taking that first step gets them engaged, gets them feeling better. They recognize, I feel better when I'm walking 20 minutes or 30 minutes a day.
Why, though, is that your employer's responsibility? I mean, I get the absenteeism and the presenteeism, and you want to have greater efficiency. And so, sure, I see that incentive from an employer's perspective. But you can also see the perspective of, this is your body, your health, your life. You should be taking care of it, not relying on an employer to offer you the time or incentives.
Oh, I love that you asked that question. So I'm going to give you three numbers, and that's 3, 4, 50. We have three behaviors that lead to four chronic diseases that result in more than 50% of deaths in Vermont. So that's physical inactivity, poor diet, and tobacco use, leading to cancer, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and lung disease. That together, just those four diseases account for 57% of deaths in Vermont. So I'm going to say it's not just employers that we're looking to engage in this. We're looking to municipalities to work on healthy community design. We're engaging with schools to help make sure that they have policies that help both their employees and the kids in the schools to be healthier. This is chronic disease is what's driving healthcare costs. It damages the economy because people just either aren't healthy enough to work, or businesses are paying more and more for healthcare costs, largely due to chronic disease. And so this is an all-in effort. It's not just work sites. It's not just healthcare providers, and it's not just the state. It's going to take multiple sectors to really engage in this work. And the health department is really trying to work across these sectors. There are other programs in the state. There's a group in right now, they're just in Franklin and Grand Isle counties, called Rise Vermont. But they're looking to spread to other hospital service areas to do this really deep multi-sector work to try and create a place where when a person leaves the house to drop their kids off at school, they know their kids are getting healthy meals and physical activity. And they're going to their workplace, and they know that they're going to have time to exercise at lunch, and they get health insurance and dental insurance. And then they come home, and they know in their community, they can walk on a sidewalk to a local playground to play with their kids after school. And this web really comes together to support a whole community wellness effort that can really help our state stay one of the healthiest states in the country.
Today, we're talking about workplace wellness programs. And no, that's not an oxymoron. Workplace wellness, I guess it's a real thing. And let's turn now to Anna White. She's Human Resources Manager at Community Health Centers of the Rutland Region. That includes 8 primary care health centers in Rutland and Addison counties. And she's on the line with us now. Hi, Anna.
Yes.
All right. So you're with the health centers, and each of the 8 health centers in your network actually has different programs for employee health. Can you give us a little bit of the range of activities?
I sure can. So we have an overall organizational initiative to encourage our employees to get their annual physical, biometric screenings, and do a online health assessment. And so all our employees that are enrolled in our health insurance plan receive gift cards if they participate in those activities. And then in addition, since our sites are spread out pretty far geographically and different types of employees, we have a wellness fund that each site can use as they deem fit based on the surveys that we do with employees on what their interests are in wellness. So we have a wide gamut. We have 3 sites that have grants, garden grants, thanks to the Garden Grant Program, and those Gardens are flourishing. Some sites have done stress workshops. We try to promote here at the administrative office as well as other sites walking meetings. So instead of just sitting in a meeting for a half an hour, we walk and talk. And we also have some financial wellness workshops coming up this month, yoga, exercise, and weight loss competitions. So a wide gamut.
How many employees do you think actually take advantage of these programs?
We have about 325 employees, and we don't have metrics, I could say, but at this site, I would say at least half the employees participate in an activity, and some of our workshops, actually all the employees have attended. So it really does vary. It is harder for clinical staff to get away to participate, but we do the best we can to offer a variety of different wellness initiatives.
You know, you'd think that in a company or an organization that's all about healthcare, maybe there's at least more awareness of the value of having healthy office activities as well. And yet still it's about 50%. So how do you encourage, or how do you think employers can encourage participation in workplace programs?
I say you have to be persistent and keep things fresh. You know, things can get old if you keep doing the same thing. So always be looking at innovative ways to reach out to as many employees as possible. I mean, you're always going to have some that, you know, jump on board and are engaged, and others that are a little more skeptical. But I think just, you know, offer a variety of activities. What will work for one individual won't work for another. You know, we're promoting tobacco cessation with our patients and employees, because we'll be completely tobacco-free in 2018, so that's a big push. It affects a small group of employees, but so I don't know there's one good answer other than just really being in tune to the employees and what their interests and needs are, and keep at it.
Anna, what do you do, and do you take advantage of any of them?
Well, I promote walking meetings. Every week we have walking meetings, and we have, it's called Walk the Loop, where we get out two or three times a week. And I have participated in the stress management workshop, the biometrics, the health assessment online, the annual physical. I figured you have to lead by example.
Anna, I appreciate you telling us about them. It's interesting, and of course, yes, that you have to at least have one if you're going to come on and talk about the health program. So I'm glad that,
exactly.
That you didn't say, "Uh-oh." That's Anna White, Human Resources Manager at Community Health Centers of the Rutland Region. Anna, thanks very much for telling us about your wellness program.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Thank you.
We are talking about workplace wellness. Judd is calling in from Burlington. Hi, Judd. Go right ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
I just had a couple of suggestions. I've had the good fortune to work with the Vermont school system and other employers around Vermont. I'm a psychologist in training. But my suggestion, one is that we use buddy systems or a peer support mechanism. Train people how to help each other make these lifestyle changes. There's more accountability, and it seems to be a flexible system, so it doesn't interfere with work schedules. The other suggestion I found useful in Vermont, and by the way, the school system has used that throughout the state through the VisBit initiative, the peer support idea. But the other suggestion I have is to train managers in how they can create a culture that supports wellness, and their maybe five core skills there. One is how they can share the vision of what's important and how people can participate. The second is to be role models themselves in this. The third is to align policies and practices, maybe that flexible lunch schedule that allows people to get out and exercise. The fourth would be to track and celebrate what work groups are doing. And the fifth might be to use The team building activities, such as retreats and such, that happen periodically, not too often, and include healthy activities around those initiatives. So peer support and leadership, I think, could be useful strategies for almost any Vermont employer.
Judd, thanks for your thoughts. I appreciate that. Julia Rell, what do you think?
I think Judd would have been a great guest. He really did a great job of outlining really core components to a healthy workplace. And what I liked about a lot of his suggestions is that they were what we call sticky solutions. It's wonderful to offer yoga or exercise classes, but once they're done, they're gone. And so what are the strategies that work sites can do that are going to stick around a long time? And that tends to be more policy and leadership and management development, as well as environmental change. So how do you change the actual physical environment to support more choices? Like you said, the healthy vending machine is an environmental strategy that will stick around. So those were great suggestions. I think he's right in alignment.
When you talk about buy-in from senior management, I mean, I can imagine some people in management saying, well, I'm trying. I say I'm supportive of this. I even go on a walking meeting, and yet it doesn't necessarily translate to rank-and-file employees like, oh, I can actually do this. So how do you actually change a culture, though, that says, yeah, this is acceptable at work. You can leave for 20 minutes and go for a walk and not feel like your boss or your coworkers are going to be looking at you like you're shirking.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely has to come from the top down. So it needs to be your CEO, your executive director, your president saying this and living it every day, and then having the managers know that they need to be reinforcing this on a regular basis with staff, because it does take time to change a culture of a workplace. And people really need to know, I'm going to be supported in doing this. And that just takes time and persistence. And, you know, this isn't easy work. It's not going to happen fast. It's hard. And you know, I can say, as a single mom who works at least 8 hours a day, I commute over almost an hour each way to work, it's hard to build time into your schedule to exercise. It's hard to cook nice, healthy, homemade meals. It's much easier to grab stuff when you're out. And so the more that we can do as a culture and as a community to build in opportunities to just move a little bit more, to have a standing desk at work, to do those walking meetings, to flex at lunchtime, that can all, those small steps all added together can really move us forward.
Let's go to Hannah in Fairfax. Hi, Hannah. You're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi.
So one of the questions that was posed was how to get employees to buy in, to make them want to do these programs. And a company that I'm familiar with actually makes employees prove that they are making efforts to make their life more healthy and taking advantage of the workplace health benefits that they offer by the employees having to pay more of a premium if they don't participate in those programs. So they track how many points they get for their wellness, and from that decides how much of the premium for the employer is going to pay and how much the employee is going to pay.
Hannah, thanks for sharing that. I appreciate it. Julie, do you ever, though, risk getting to a point where you're penalizing employees for something that that may feel like pressure that has nothing to do with your job?
Mm-hmm. That's a tough issue. I mean, work sites can use a carrot or a stick, and we're all about carrots.
Yeah, and I'm not saying Hannah's suggestion is the stick. I mean, it may be more like a discount than a you pay more kind of situation. But yeah, there can feel that like Big Brother type feeling from your employer.
Yeah. And, you know, employers are also in a tough place, particularly if they're providing health insurance and dental insurance for their employees, which we really encourage employers, if they at all can, to do that, because that can make a big difference. But if in turn they're seeing these high costs, they can look at the data as well and see how chronic disease is really driving this. And they're anxious to do whatever they can to help reduce their costs to be a viable workplace.
Let's go to Sarah in Rutland. Hi, Sarah. You're on the air.
Thank you. Very interesting program. One of the policies we had when we had a small business was that you could take a nap, because a lot of poor eating is a function of fatigue and also the rigidity of most people's schedules in an office is difficult. So people were, if they had their own office, could just put up a sign that they were napping, or there was a common space where people could nap.
And they took advantage of it, Sarah?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Boy, I could really use a nap. That sounds lovely to me. I appreciate your suggestion. Nice to hear about it. Julie, what about, we've talked a lot about some things that lead to physical health, and some of them also have knock-on effects. We know that physical activity is a huge component of mental health as well. But what about specifically looking at your employees' mental health and making sure that they are taking care of themselves in that way?
There are, yes, mental health issues are significantly important. You know, we are talking a lot about physical activity, nutrition, and tobacco, because those are really the cornerstones. But substance abuse in the workplace has a significant impact. Mental health, depression, we see there are certain work groups that have higher rates of depression than others. So anything that we can do as an employer and as a community to support these other aspects, sleep is huge. It really does impact the overall body. Oral health impacts the overall body. We're not broken out into different components. We are a complex organism that requires care. And I think any workplace that can integrate the brain, the mouth, and the whole body is going to have healthier employees overall.
Well, and I can't remember whether it was you or Judd who mentioned it, but financial education and financial stability, I mean, that goes directly mm-hmm. to questions about mental health care as well. Interesting
Absolutely.
To see that. Julie Arell is Division Director of Health Promotion and Disease Prevention at the Vermont Department of Health. Julie, thanks very much.
Thank you so much, Jane.